Bibles will turn with me to the book of Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and then John 19. Psalm 107 and John 19. Psalm 107 says in verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, declare His works with rejoicing." And then it says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they," or these, "see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. What does that have to do with John 19, chapter 23? "Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took His garments and made four parts to each soldier a part, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without seam, woven from the top in one piece. They said therefore among themselves, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be,' that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" Amen. Therefore the soldiers did these things. Amen. Let's put our Bibles down for a moment and let's just pray one more time. Lord, we love You. We thank You for this opportunity to gather in this place. We ask for Your help. We ask for Your presence again, Your anointing. Lord, touch our hearts and our minds. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. We need You desperately, Lord. More than anything, God, we need You, Lord Jesus. We need You, Lord God. We need You, Lord God. Have Your way, we pray, in this place. We thank You again for Your presence. We thank You again, God, for Your power and glory. And we thank You for Your goodness and mercy and Your blessings. Oh, Lord God, let us praise You for Your goodness. Oh, that we would all praise You for Your goodness and for Your wonderful works, Lord. Oh, Jesus, in the name of the Lord God, we pray. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Christopher Columbus is the man who is given credit for discovering America, though some would argue that point, saying that there is evidence that other Europeans and Asians visited this continent far sooner than 1492. But Columbus is given the honor. He was a sailor, yes, but Columbus was more than that. Columbus was a gambler. He was a risk taker. He gambled his life, his ship, his fortune, his reputation on a belief and a dream. One historian said of Columbus, "The belief that the East could be reached by sailing westward was held by many learned men and was not original with Columbus, but he was the first and only man of his time who was ready to gamble on that belief and risk his all in an attempt to demonstrate the theory. For this, he deserves a place among the greatest characters of history." History also shows that Columbus had a conviction that not only could the East be reached by sailing west, but that God raised him up to accomplish this work for mankind. And from that conviction, he never wavered to the last day of his life. The greatness of Columbus didn't consist in the fact that he had a new thought. The thought was old. His greatness lies in the fact that he dared to do what others only talked about. Columbus was willing to gamble on his knowledge, his vision, his dream, his faith, and his life. And he was willing to take a chance on shipwreck or discovery. He was a risk taker. The psalmist in our text describes ocean-going vessels, and they that do business in great waters. The Jews were, as a rule, not a seafaring people. The sea to them was a thing of menace and mystery. To go out on the ocean meant to open oneself up to every possible loss. It meant to give up the quiet village and calm life. It meant the surrendering of family and friends. It meant giving up worship in the synagogue or the temple. It meant to leave lovely Jerusalem. Just the mention of that made every Hebrew's heart yearn within him. It meant homesickness and, in fact, seasickness. It meant that it might involve death among the creeping, crawling things at the bottom of the sea. It might mean to die far from the sepulcher of their fathers, and that too was a hideous thought by any Hebrew. So great was the dread of the sea that when John had his vision of the world to come, he made certain to point out to his fellow Hebrews, and there was no more sea, describing heaven. The psalmist was, of course, a Jew, yet he realized that the man who ventured upon the sea not only ran great risk, but that the risk might also bring vast gain. The ocean goers might see more risk than the non-ocean goers might see, yet he also saw so much more. Amen. He saw more than just the risk. He faced dangers that others didn't face, yet he had the thrill of adventures and sights that village-bound people didn't see. And so he wrote, "They that go down to the sea in ships, they that do business in great waters, these are the ones that see the works of the Lord and the wonders and His wonders in the deep." Amen. So I'm speaking to us today on this subject, gambling on God. Gambling on God. Now, I realize that I'm taking a risk using that word gambling. Why? Because it might seem to encourage someone to take hard-earned money and fling it to Lady Luck, as many Americans have been doing recently in hopes of winning what is now, as of this morning, estimated to be $1.6 billion lottery jackpot, the largest in lottery history. According to the Associated Press, more than 280 million tickets were sold for Friday's drawing, which no one won. That's the equivalent of more than two-thirds of Americans purchasing tickets, gambling on the odds of 1 in 302 million chances. You're more likely to be struck by lightning. The Bible teaches against gambling. Gambling means trusting Lady Luck more than Jehovah Jireh. Gambling is motivated by the love of money. Gambling is often a sign of greed and desperation. Gambling is inconsistent with godly values. Gambling violates God's design for monetary gain. Gambling is poor stewardship of money. Gambling distracts from true riches. Gambling oppresses the poor. And gambling is addictive. Amen. Anyone who tries to tell you otherwise is lying. JB was a man in my hometown in Louisiana. JB was a welder. He and my dad welded together, worked on many jobs together. He worked in the refineries, chemical plants, power plants across southwest Louisiana, southeast Texas. There was an accident in one of those plants, and JB was hurt in that accident and was awarded a settlement. And I went to school with JB's daughters. I knew who they were, how they lived. They were good people. JB's settlement was, and if I remember correctly, a conservative estimate was $1.2 million. It may have been higher, close to $1.5, but we'll say $1.2 just. So he gets this settlement. He can never work again. JB's hurt. He can't never work again, barely gets around, could get around, and just a good family, JB and his wife and two daughters. But then, and instead of going out and blowing his money, his settlement on four-wheel drive trucks and mobile homes like most people that got hurt in accidents over there did and do, JB didn't do that. He tried to settle everything to make it to where he would be all right till he died, and then his daughters would be okay. But then the lottery was introduced to Louisiana. JB's wife decided one day she was going to buy a couple of tickets. And every once in a while she would go in and buy a couple of tickets here and there, and she might win $5 or $10 and tell how much she had spent. But it became an addiction to her. And then the casinos moved into Louisiana. And to make a long story short, it got to the point to where JB's daughters would call the casinos, in fact, the local one in my hometown, and ask, was their mother there? And in fact, they would beg them not to let her in. Of course, they would let her in. It wasn't long, though, that JB's wife had gambled away every single dime of that $1.2+ million. JB died broke. Don't tell me that gambling is not addictive. Amen. But in the heart of every person, I believe, there is, whether it's a tiny, tiny bit, whether it's a great deal, whether it's dormant or alive, I believe that in the heart of every person, there is a part, there is something that wants to gamble. There is something in us that wants to take a risk. Many of us suppress that. Many of us push that down to the point where it maybe can't even be found anymore. And the writer of Psalms discovered a great truth, that all of life involves risk, and that to live, we must dare to live. And in a profound sense, that every man is born a gambler. Nothing venture, nothing gain. The psalmist would have us to believe that the more we dare, the greater will be our return. The only way to win the best is to risk the best. The only way to gain is to risk. Amen. Everything we do in this life has an element of risk. Being born is a risk, right? Imagine how that even happens. It's mind-blowing to me how that even happens, how a baby inside a womb, one moment, is out the womb the next moment and living and breathing. I can't comprehend that, but it's a miracle. And it's also a risk. It's a risk to come out of that womb of safety and into this world of danger. It's a risk. Amen. We are immortal souls. We weren't consulted whether we wanted to be born human or beast. Nobody asked us that. It's sometimes easier to be born animal or beast. Amen. Our dog has it pretty good, as I'm sure yours does as well. We know people who are disappointed, and sometimes we are disappointed. Sometimes we weep, right? And we experience loss, and we experience things because that are tragic, because life itself is a risk. Being born is a risk. Amen. Sometimes we are in a and we know people in despair. And we see the criminal things that people do to one another. We see and we read of and hear of the horrible things that people do in this life. Amen. Amen. But then on the other hand, there is joy unspeakable available to us through God in this life. And so there's tragedy, but yet there is joy available. There's always risk, and there's always reward in this life. One man in the Bible cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" Another cries out, "If a man die, shall he live again?" There is risk to be to being born. Amen. There's risk of suffering and heartache. It involves risk. Life itself, everything in life involves risk. You take a risk when you drive. You take a risk when you wake up in the mornings. You take a risk when you go to work. You take a risk when you put your money in the bank. Everything in life involves risk, right? But that doesn't mean you're a risk taker. It just means you're living. It just means you're existing. Because you can exist without really living. Amen. You can just get along and go through life existing but not really living. Only allowing the necessary risks to your life. The driving, the waking up, and the putting your money in the bank and not knowing if it's going to close down next week or what's going to happen to the stock market. All those little things that you have to do, some people just do those just to get by, just to exist in life. But then there are people who are willing to risk, who are gamblers at heart. They're willing to risk it all. They're willing to risk things just to see greater things happen. Amen. I'm thankful for Wilbur and Orville Wright. People like that who made up their minds that they could make a contraption that would fly through the air. Going through the air in a little box. There's a lot of risk to that. Amen. A gamble. They bet their lives on that. And they flew. Marriage is a risk. Some people are afraid of marriage. They're afraid of the risk. It indeed is a risk. Right? And many of us here could say, yes, it was a risk. I took it and it didn't work out so well. Right? Amen. Having children is a risk. We all know that. We all know what can happen. Amen. Calvary was a risk. There were some gamblers at Calvary, but only one was a real gambler. Only one was a risk taker. Soldiers there, gambling for Christ's garment. But the biggest gamble was hanging on the cross. Amen. They cast lots, which is the equivalent of rolling dice, basically. Casting lots. Okay, all right, you won this garment. You won this. But the real risk taker, the real gambler, was the one hanging on the cross. He risked it all. Amen. He risked everything. He risked his life. He risked death. He risked the crucifixion. He risked the pain of all of that. The humility and the pain of all of that for great gain. He risked it all for his bride, the church. Amen. He was a gambler. He took the dice of his life, so to speak, and threw it for a lost world. He bet all that he had on his belief that a world could be saved. He bet everything on the belief, amen, that some people would worship him. He bet it all that there would be some people who would believe and allow his blood to wash away their sins and be baptized in his name and filled with his spirit. He gave all, but he gained all. He paid for the church with his own blood. Gambling, as Jesus did, is a virtue. He was betting not on chance, but on a confidence. Amen. He bet not to win for himself, but to win for others. God has designed us, you and I, to be risk takers, to be gamblers like that. If I'm not, I ought to be, right? But God has placed in each of us, whether it's dormant, whether it's so far suppressed that we can't find it, or whether it's there and it's coming up and it's always wanting to take a risk, it's there. Somewhere, God has designed us. Just as God has designed us to be worshipers. Whatever that object is, whomever it is, we are designed to be worshipers. And God has designed us to be risk takers. He has designed us to be pioneers, right? Amen. That pioneer spirit is hard to find these days. How many people would want to take a would want to risk their lives and their families and everything to take out across a vast country with no roads, no highways, no interstate, no airplanes, not even a trail? They had to make their own trails. Pioneers. But look at what we have now today. But where is that pioneering spirit? It's been so suppressed. It's been pushed down so much that we want the easy way out. We don't want to take back roads anymore. We want the highways. We want the interstates. Amen. We want the rest areas. We want the convenience stores along the side. Right? Nobody wants to take Route 66 any longer because there's interstates. Really? But God has designed us to be gamblers, to be risk takers. Right? Now, there are some who take risk in ways that are maybe not so smart. Those speeders, I used to be a speeder. It's a risk taking. Not anymore. Cheaters, not a cheater, but cheaters take risk. Amen. It's not the kind we want to be.
Right. Right.
Hikers take risk. Right? Bikers take risk. Bear hunters take risk. Divers take risk. Sailors, whalers, and all of these things that are out there, that are available for people to do. Those who will travel anywhere and to any country, and those who want to climb Mount Everest and scale down a cliff for whatever reason. But that's not the kind of risk that we're designed for. That's a product. It's a byproduct of this thing in us that God has placed in us. And yes, those are risk takers. And yes, they're gamblers. They gamble with all those. They gamble with their life. They gamble with those things. But then there are missionaries. They'll risk it all. They'll leave their comfortable homes and their families, and they'll go to a country, a foreign nation somewhere, and they'll learn a language that is strange to them, and they'll go among a people who look at them like they've never seen anything like this before. And they begin to try to communicate, and they begin to open a Bible up to these people, and they begin to tell them about Jesus Christ. They've never heard of that before in most cases, or many cases, but they begin to reach out to those people. They've risked everything, and in some cases, death. They have died. But you don't even have to go that far to be a risk taker. Because God has placed in us the heart of a gambler, and that instinct to take risk. And he's looking for those who are sold out to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
I'm going to risk it all. Sold out. He's looking for those who will walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. The risk taker says, I don't care what it looks like. This is what I'm doing. A gambler, a risk taker says, I don't know how far it is to the Pacific Ocean. Nobody's ever been there before from here, but I'm going anyway. I don't know where the trail is. I'm going to make a trail, but I'm going anyway. Amen. Those who will stand in the face of adversity and say, it is well. It is well. Amen. No matter what it looks like, it is well. Those who give above and beyond because they know I trust God at His Word, and I'm gambling on God. Amen. I'm taking a risk. I'm trusting in this right here. Those who aren't afraid to burn bridges and say, I'm eliminating plan B. I'm not ever going back. Amen. Those who are not afraid to step out of a boat into a storm. Amen. Those who will say there's nowhere else to go. Those who risk relationships to follow Jesus Christ. Amen. Those who risk losing family members and friends because, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing. God is calling me to another place, and God is filling me with His Spirit, and God is anointing me to this to reach out and to win souls and to do this and to do that. Well, that's kind of far out there. I mean, what are you doing? Becoming a fanatic? You call it whatever you want, but I'm taking some risk here. Amen. Amen. God is looking for those who will say, if you can use anything, God, you can use me. I'm willing to risk it all. I'm willing to take a risk. Amen. Those who will say, I can do it. I will do it. I will try. I will give it everything I've got. I will give it everything I've got. I will be a risk taker. Amen. I will gamble on God. Amen. I will gamble on God. Count me in. Count me in. Amen. Why should we take risks? Because it is those who take risks who see the wonders of God. Amen. It's those who are willing to go down to the sea in ships. It's those who are willing to go out into the deep. The dangers of that. The dangers of a storm coming up and that ship being tossed to and fro. That ship being destroyed. There's all kinds of risk. But he says those are the ones who see the wonders of the Lord. Those are the ones. Those who are willing to risk it all. Those who are willing to say, I'm going by faith. I'm putting my trust in God. Amen. I'm throwing caution to the wind. And I'm walking by faith and not by sight. Amen. Adventurers at heart. Let's do this. Let's see this thing happen. We've never been this way before, like Joshua told the people. You've never been this way before. It's okay. It's all right. We're walking by faith. It's a gamble. It's a risk. If you don't want to go, stay on the other side of Jordan. But that, no. I'm willing to gamble. I'm willing to take a risk. Amen. I'm willing to go down to the sea in ships. I'm willing to do business in great waters because I want to see the works of the Lord. I'm willing to risk it all because I want to see His works. I want to see His marvelous works, and I want to see His mighty hand. Amen. Amen. Yes, the ship will see great waves. Yes, it will reach a crest pointing to the heavens, and then it will plunge back down into the depth. Yes, the sailors' souls melt. They stagger to and fro on the decks of the ships. They are at their wits' end. Amen. They cry out to the Lord in trouble, and God brings them out of their distresses. And they risk, and they see the wonders of God. Amen. When men and women gamble on God, they're never disappointed. Amen. You're never disappointed when you gamble on God. David gambled on God, and he was certainly a risk taker. He was. The Bible tells us that David said to the Philistine, that would be Goliath, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand. I will smite you. I will take your head from you. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day under the fowls of the air to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." In other words, I'm casting it all on Him. I'm risking it all. I'm pushing all the chips in on God. I'm giving it all. I'm throwing it all in. Here's all of it. I'm all in on God. I'm 5'1". You're 9.5 feet tall, Goliath. But I'm risking it all. I'm gambling on God. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Risk takers. Gamblers. Amen. We are not careful to answer thee, O king. If it be so, our God, whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We're pushing it all in, no matter what happens. We live, we live. We die, we die. Amen. We survive or we burn. We're pushing it all in. I'm cashing all in. I'm gambling on God. Amen. And so when you gamble on God, you're never disappointed. And when you gamble on God, you're never alone. Nebuchadnezzar, wait a minute, guys. Hold on. Didn't we throw three men into that fire? Yes, sir, three men. Well, who's that fourth guy? He looks like the Son of God. When you gamble on God, you're never alone. When you gamble on God, you always win. You gamble on God, you cannot lose. When you cash in, when you put it all in, I'm all in on God. You're never alone and you cannot lose. Oh, hallelujah. What about Peter? He gambled. He took a risk. Everybody else, nuh-uh. I am not taking risk. I'm not taking this gamble. You want to go over the boat? You go ahead. I'm not. I'm staying in here. Peter said, I'm stepping out. I'm cashing in. Here's my chips. Okay, God. Waves, salt water hitting him in the face. Waves crashing everywhere. The boat's doing all this. Other disciples puking over the other side. Simon Peter steps over. One. Two. Here's all my chips. I just cashed in, God. He starts walking. All of a sudden he starts sinking. See there? See what happened? You shouldn't have taken that risk. You shouldn't have gambled at all. No, I knew it. All of a sudden, Jesus picks him up, and now they're both walking on water, stepping back into that boat. Nobody else was willing to take a risk. Nobody else was willing to gamble. But Peter did, because when you risk it all, you're not alone. Even if I give everything and I say, wait a minute, what about this? How can I pay that? Well, no, what about this? Here comes God. I'm picking you up. I'm picking you up. It's better to fail in the hands of God than to stay in the boat and never risk it all. Widow at Zarephath, hey, what are you doing? You know your barrels are empty. You've got a tiny bit of oil. You've got a tiny bit of meal. And you've got a hungry boy. And you yourself, you haven't eaten. You're hungry. This is all you've got. You know that when you make this last cake and you split it with your son, that's it. That's it. It's over. It's over. But I'm willing to take a chance on God. I'm willing to risk it. I'm willing to risk my life. I'm willing to risk my family. I'm going to gamble on God, so I'm cashing in. Here it is, God. I'm going to make it for the man of God, the prophet. I'm going to make him a cake first. Here you go. Here it is. Here it is, prophet. Take it. Wait, what's that? Oh, there's more. Oh, here you go, son. Here you go. Wait. Oh, there's enough for me. Here's me a pancake. Here's another one for you. Here's another one for you. And here's another one for me. Oh, the next day. Oh, here, prophet, here's another for you. Here you go, son. There's another for you. And look at there. There's a little more. Where did that come from? Because I cashed in. I gambled it all. Oh, hallelujah. If she had not gambled it all, she wouldn't have lasted 10 days. Hallelujah. What about the little widow with the two mites? You got the Pharisees over here. You got the Sadducees over here. You got the publicans, the tax collectors, all standing around, and it's time to give. Pull out of that big old sack of money. Clink. Look at me. Look at me. I'm fasting today, and I just gave. Every one of them walking by, taking out a denarius out of that big old bag full of, and clink, there it is. And then here's this little old lady, this little widow woman. And she's walking up to the offering plate. Jesus is over there watching. And she reaches down in that little bag. I know I had two of them here somewhere. I know I had two of them here. There they are. This is all I've got. This is it, God. This is it. She don't realize Jesus is watching. Jesus is always watching. Yes. All right. But it's not clink, it's clink, clink. That's it. That's all my chips gone. That's it. That's everything. I've just gambled it all. I don't know where my next meal is coming from. She put it all in there. What did Jesus say about her? What did he say? Come on, somebody, help me. No, seriously, help me. Risk it all. Amen. I've got to be willing to gamble my life, my future, everything. My finances, everything. I've cashed in. I've given it all to God. Here it is, Lord. Here it is. I'm gambling on everything. Amen. Moving here was a gamble, yeah. We left everything. We left, and I'm not just, we left it all. Good paying jobs, family, friends, good church, everything to come here. Knowing not a soul, but yet pushed it all in. And here we are. 20 years later, here it is, pushing all in. Not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying, I want to be a gambler. I want to gamble on God. I have never, ever in my life bought a lottery ticket, and I will not. I will not. Amen. There's a lot of things I can't say I've never done, but that's one thing I can say. That's the one thing I can say, and I will not. I actually had somebody give me one for Christmas. Several years ago, and I said, why didn't you just give me the $2? It was, but I will, I never have and I never will. But for God, my life, my future, my finances, everything, here it is. It's all on you, God. It's all on you. I'm cashing in. I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all in. Amen. And that's what he's looking for. He's just looking for people who will reach down somewhere and say, way down in there, somewhere in me, there is a risk taker. There is a gambler. And I'm about to give it all to God. I'm going to gamble it all on him. I'm going to trust him with everything. I'm going to trust him with all that I am, all that I have. I'm all in. I'm all in. Let's stand today. Are you willing to bet everything on him? I know it's tempting to hold back. No, you know, I'm not too sure about that. And not too sure. Not, you know, I don't know. But God is saying, look, I gambled everything. I left heaven. I left the throne. I put on flesh. I risk it all, knowing that not everybody's getting on board. Knowing that there will be people who will reject me. Knowing there will be people who will deny me. Knowing there will be people who will mock and curse me. Knowing that there will be people who will slander my name. But I also knew that there would be people who would serve me with everything that's in them. Who would be willing to give it all for me. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to be a gambler? Don't gamble on the lottery. Your chances are 1 in 302 million. But gamble on God because you never lose. Gamble on God. You never lose. Amen. Hallelujah. You want to be a risk taker? Take a risk and teach a Bible study. Take a risk, invite somebody to church. Take a risk and give. Amen. Take a risk and serve. Take a risk and commit yourself. And dedicate yourself to God and to His church. Amen. That's what He's looking for. How many was here last week? If you hear it, He's looking for Nethinim. Amen. Nethinim are gamblers. They take risks. They give it all for the service of the kingdom. Let's do that. Let's find a place to pray. And let's commit again. I'm all in, God. I'm all in. 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 In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I'm all in. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.